It's impossible to talk about the current state of gun control in America without mentioning the National Rifle Association, the NRA. Formed as a marksmanship group after the Civil War, it became one of the most powerful lobbying organizations in the U.S. by the 1990s, wielding both immense coffers and a voting constituency that put gun ownership rights at the heart of their political involvement. The NRA reshaped gun control policy and loosened regulations around gun ownership in the U.S. by pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into campaigns and lobbying efforts. But in January, the group declared bankruptcy. And as President Biden mulls executive action on gun control and a universal background check bill is debated in the Senate, where is the NRA's influence felt today? Matthew Lacombe is an assistant professor of political science at Barnard College, and he's been writing about the NRA's political influence. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. And I'm hoping that you can start by just sort of explaining what the NRA's influence has looked like, especially since the 1990s. What would you describe as sort of the main pillars of their political power over the gun control conversation in the U.S.?
Sure. So what I argue is that the NRA's political power is in large part wrapped up with its ability to mobilize its mass-level supporters, NRA members, gun owners, gun rights supporters, by sort of creating a situation in which gun ownership is an important lens through which a lot of NRA supporters view and act upon politics. The NRA has then been very successful at mobilizing them into political action by portraying that identity as under threat. Moreover, in recent decades, the NRA has closely aligned itself with the Republican Party. In more recent years, following prominent mass shootings, we really often haven't even seen serious legislative proposals enter the agenda. And I think that's in part because most of those shootings have occurred when at least part of our national leadership, whether in Congress or the White House, were led by NRA-aligned Republicans who are dedicated to the group's cause in part because of the electoral support the organization provides, and of course also in part because the NRA money has helped them with their campaigns and building a sort of infrastructure to help them gain votes, something that the NRA did successfully when Donald Trump, for example, won in 2016.
Have we entered a new phase then, though, Matthew? Because the NRA of today is not the NRA of 10 or 20 years ago. I mean, they filed for bankruptcy a few months ago, as we mentioned. So, I mean, what kind of shape is the organization in? Would it be fair to say that its influence is on the wane?
So on the one hand, it's true. The NRA organizationally is in a very bad spot. It's hurting financially. It's undergone quite a bit of infighting and turnover. And it's still facing lawsuits that are existential threats to its long-term existence. Moreover, we're in a situation in which the NRA's opponents, gun safety advocacy organizations, are stronger than they've been in quite a long time. So the NRA both has sort of stronger foes than in the past and is much weaker organizationally. Having said that, that sort of base of politically dedicated gun rights supporters that the NRA really helped build over the course of many decades isn't necessarily going anywhere. So even if the NRA ceases to exist tomorrow, the base of support that they built behind gun rights will remain. And where that will go if the NRA itself wanes or ceases to exist is difficult to say. It could be that the community becomes fragmented. It could be that more extreme groups than the NRA pop up in order to now guide those supporters and mobilize them into action on behalf of various causes. We're entering a sort of new era of the gun debate.
Well, then it makes me wonder, and I guess this is a two-part question, what the window here looks like from your view. Democrats control both houses of Congress. They've got the White House. And with the NRA hobbled, as you just described, do they have an opportunity to finally pass some meaningful gun control measures in Congress? But then I guess the follow-up that goes with that, even if they do, what might they have to contend with in the courts, mindful that we have a conservative-leaning Supreme Court that could strike down some gun control measures, as we saw in the Heller case several years ago?
Sure. So in the short term, I'm skeptical that legislatively passed gun control laws will be enacted. The Republicans, of course, can still filibuster legislation that the Democrats pursue, and I think that they would do so on the gun control issue. Moreover, I'm not sure that the Democrats really want to prioritize that and go all in on it right now. We're still the first 100 days of Joe Biden's presidency. And I think he's really focused on other matters. And that's something that gun safety advocacy groups are trying to push him and other leading Democrats on, although I would expect the White House to use some unilateral action to tighten regulations on guns. And then your point about the judiciary is a good one. So control of the White House and control of Congress has changed hands, and the Democrats now have it. But the judges that have been, the pro-gun judges that have been appointed by prior Republican presidents, including President Trump, are still in office. And there are signals that the scope of the Second Amendment and the way in which it's interpreted will become increasingly pro-gun, even if the federal government and Congress and the White House decides to pursue new legislation in the short or midterm.
So then what's the bottom line for the NRA, Matthew? I mean, this is a group that you've studied so closely. What does the future for the NRA look like? And does it even matter? Maybe its legacy lives on through the voting block it created, no matter what happens to the group itself.
Of course, part of it depends on what happens with the lawsuit that's been launched by the New York Attorney General seeking to dissolve the organization. If that is successful, then it might spell the end for the NRA. However, even if the NRA avoids that outcome, and I think it's likely that the NRA will avoid total dissolution, there are still big questions about what its future might look like. And part of those questions are actually related to its really close relationship with Donald Trump. The NRA, although being aligned with the Republicans for a few decades now, was unusually close with Trump. And so now it's in this situation in which it may find itself somewhat inextricably linked to a set of ideas and an approach to politics that's increasingly viewed as toxic by a lot of potential NRA members who own guns but don't share its sort of broader outlook on politics, by Democrats, you know, who obviously are not on board with Trumpism, and even by many in the GOP, including some of its leaders, who'd like to see their own party go in a different direction. If that happens, we could envision a scenario in which both political parties and a lot of sort of mass-level gun owners turn away from the NRA, and that would be a scenario in which gun politics would fundamentally change in ways that I think would make the passage of new gun regulations, at least in the mid and long term, if not the short term, much more likely.
Matthew Lacombe is an assistant professor of political science at Barnard College who studies the National Rifle Association. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.